seventh chapter of Hilchos Schiras, the laws of hiring. This chapter contains eight halachas and will continue with general principles of rental, including many cases of disagreement between the one doing the renting and the rentor himself. Perek Shvi, the seventh chapter, Halacha Aleph. Kishem shemasna adam kol tanai sheyirtza b'mekach u'memkar. Just as the law is that a person can make whatever stipulation he wishes in the case of buying and selling, as explained previously in the laws of Mechira, kach masna b'schiris. So too, he can make a stipulation when it comes to a rental. Shaschirus mechira l'zman kotzuv hi. Because in reality, rental is just like selling something for a limited period. When one rents, he buys the thing technically for a certain period of time. Therefore, just as a stipulation is valid in the case of buying and selling, so too in the case of rental. In any case where a person selling an object will be valid, so too when he rents something, it is also valid. Therefore, just as the sale of someone that is a child or insane is invalid, so too in the case of a rental, it would also be invalid. This is as far as the person. And so too any object which one is not allowed to sell, kach ein leilisker. So too he is not allowed to rent. Some examples of this brought in Hilchas Mechira was a davar shalei bo lo'eilam, something which does not yet exist. Davar sheina birshusei, something which is not within the seller's possession. The davar shein bei mamish, and something which is not tangible. All of these things one is not allowed to sell, and so too they cannot be rented. Ele im ken yesh leperes bilvad ba'esa karka. Unless we are talking about fruit which is produced in land. This may not be sold, but it may be rented. Therefore, one can rent another one a field, and included in that will also be all of the produce of that field. But this would not be in the case of a sale, that since the fruit does not yet exist, it has not yet grown, it may not be sold. Halacha Beis. In this halacha, at least at the beginning, the Rambam will deal with one of the unusual features of the Jewish calendar. That since we operate on a lunar cycle, sometimes a year will have 12 months, and sometimes it will have 13 months. Now that our calendar has been fixed for all generations, we know at the beginning of the year whether it's going to be a regular year or a leap year with 13 months. However, at the time the temple was in existence, the Jewish court would determine whether or not it would be a leap year in the middle of the year. Let's say now something has been rented for a year. In the middle of the year was decided that this year would have 13 months. Who must pay for the extra month? Is it included in the price of a year? Or was the price really by the month, and therefore a 13th payment must be made? Hamasker bayis lechaveru lashona. One person rented another one a house for 1 year, and the year ended up a leap year. The extra month goes to the renter. In other words, the right to dwell in that 13th month will go for free to the renter. If, for example, they set a price of 12 coins for a year, and the year ended up having 13 months, although it was clear that the 12 coins were each meant to match up to a month, nevertheless, since all they mentioned was a year, therefore, the 12 coins will cover the entire year, regardless of how many months it has. That was because it was hamaskir l'shana. It was done for the whole year. Let's say hiskir l'chadoshim. It was rented for months. In other words, it was made up that it would pay one coin a month. The extra month will go to the owner of the field, the owner of the house, that since he gave the price per month, therefore he must pay for that 13th month. Let's say both of them were mentioned. It was mentioned both the idea of months, that it would be for 12 months, and also that it would be for 1 year. In this case, regardless of the order, Bein Sha'amr Le Dinner Lechedesh, Shnei Maser Dinner B'Shana. whether they said both explicitly, one dinar, one coin per month, and 12 coins for the entire year, meaning that the main thing seemed to be the amount paid per month. And even Bein Sha'amar Leish, Shnei Masar Dinar Lashana, Dinar B'chol Chaydesh, whether it was said that it should be 12 coins, 12 dinar for a year, implying that that's the main thing, and one dinar for each month, implying that the idea of the per month payment was just secondary, to calculate how much the 12 coin payment will be broken out over the year. And it would seem in such a case that the main thing was the year, and the 13th month, therefore, would be included in the total price. Nevertheless, since both were mentioned, Hare Chedesh HaIber Shel Maskir, the extra month for the leap year, the 13th month, goes to the owner of the house, and he will have to be paid 13 for this year. And why is that? Shakarka Becheskas Bailim, because the land is within the clear possession of the owner. We cannot take anything away from a landowner unless we have a clear proof. And in this case, there is no clear proof that it was a payment for one complete year, even if that was mentioned first. Since the monthly price was also mentioned, we do not have a clear proof that this money should belong to the renter, to the seicher, since it is not clear. And the chazaka, the ownership, clear ownership and possession of the land, is that of the maskir. We cannot take away this money which technically belongs to him unless we have a clear proof that it was rented for 1 year. And because of this principle, the Rambam gives us another relevant law in a case of dispute between the maskir and the seicher. The Kain Bal HaBayis Sha'amar, and so too, when the owner of the house says, Lizman Zeh Hiskarti Loch, that I rented out this house to you for a certain period of the time, and there is no document. He says it was rented until a certain date, and now that date has come. And the law is, as we mentioned in yesterday's perek, that he can evict the tenant without giving any advance notice, since to begin with they agreed only upon this certain time. However, their tenant says, Leisocharti elestam, that I rented this without explicitly stating how long I would stay here. In which case, he would have to have 30 days notice, or in some cases 12 months notice, before he can be evicted. Oilizman oruch, or the tenant claims that he rented it for a longer period of time, and the period of time has not yet elapsed. So too, in this case of dispute, al haseicher lahavir raya, it is the responsibility of the tenant to bring a proof. V'im lei hevi, if he is unable to bring proof, then ba'al habayis nishba heses, the owner of the house must take a rabbinic oath, as in any case where there is a dispute between two people, where one denies the claim of another, our sages decreed a shvuas heses, a rabbinic oath. And then umaitzio min habayis, the owner of the house is allowed to evict the tenant. Why is it that we allow the owner of the house the upper hand, that he can take this oath and evict the tenant? Why don't we do it the other way around, make the tenant take the oath, and then he can stay in the house? The reason is based on the beginning of this halacha, as the Rambam says, v'chein ba'al habayis eimer, that since we learned in the beginning of the halacha, that karka b'cheskas bailim, that land is within the presumption, within the possession of the landowner, we cannot take it away from him unless we have a clear proof. So too over here, although there seems to be an even dispute between the landlord and the tenant, since the land itself certainly belongs to the owner of the land, we cannot give the tenant as an equal footing with the landlord. Since it is within his possession, definitely, it is the seicher, the tenant, who must prove his case. Should he not, then the Baal HaBayis, the owner of the land, has the upper hand. And by taking an oath to deny the tenant's claim, he will be able to take back the house and evict the tenant. Halacha Gimel. This halacha will deal with a disagreement between the owner and the renter as to when, whether or not the rental fee has been paid. Sometimes it is stipulated between the parties when it is that the rent must be paid. Other times, however, it is not stipulated. And then we assume that the average rental payment period would be every 30 days. And normally it would be paid at the end of the 30 days after the rental object has been used. The presumption is that within that 30-day period, the renter would not normally pay the fee. However, when the 30-day period is up, the presumption is that he has done so. Therefore, Asecher Sha'omer Nasati Schar Habayez Shenis Chayavti Boy. The renter claims that I gave the rent for the house that I was required to give. Bamaskir Eimer, the owner of the object or the house, says, Adayin lo natalti. I didn't take any money. I didn't get anything. In such a case, Bein Shahoyis Abishtar, Bein Shahoyis Abayidim, regardless of whether the agreement was made with a document or whether it was done with witnesses. If the disagreement erupts within 30 days, the responsibility is on the renter to bring a proof that since the presumption is a person would not normally pay before he has to, he must bring a proof. And therefore, he has two choices. Should he not be able to bring the proof? Either he gives the payment, and then he cannot make the owner take an oath, but he can have a chedem stam, v'yachrim al mishalokach mimenu, and he can make a declaration of excommunication, so to speak, by the decree of the ga'inim, on anyone that took money from him unlawfully. So either he gives the money, or yitein alav bedomim shenosan tchila taina bifnei atzma. Or he can make another claim for the amount of money that they're arguing about, a separate claim. The Yashbiyehu Heses, and thereby force the owner of the land to make an oath, a rabbinic oath, to deny this amount. Should his sole claim be that he paid back the money, then he has not believed he must give. However, should he have another claim, which has more bearing, for which there is no presumption that within the 30 days he would have paid, then he can force the owner of the house, or whatever the object may be, to deny his claim, and he must therefore, like any kefir hakel, a person denying the claim against him, make a rabbinic oath. These are his choices if it happens within 30 days. Let's say tove amaskir la'achar shleishim yem, afilu b'yem ha'shleishim. Let's say the owner is demanding his rent after 30 days has passed, or even on the 30th day. In this case, al-hamaskir lo-havir-raya. The responsibility is on the owner to bring a proof, because the presumption is that it would normally be paid after that time. So therefore, he must bring a proof that he was not paid, in which case he can collect. Or he can make the renter swear that he already gave his rental fee, and then he will be exempt. But as we mentioned, this 30-day period is only if no payment interval has been explicitly declared. So too, if in the rental agreement it was explicitly stated that the rent will be paid once a year, and the claim was made within this year, the responsibility is on the renter to prove that he has already paid, because the presumption is he would not normally pay before the time. If it was, however, the claim erupted after the year has passed, even if on the 29th day of Elul, the last day of the year, the responsibility is on the owner to bring a proof that it has not been paid, because the presumption is that after the year has passed, the money has been paid. And even on the very last day of the year, even though the full year has not yet elapsed, it is common, says the Gemara, that even on the last day people pay. Therefore, the presumption is the money has been returned. And another sort of possible disagreement. Halacha Dalet. Hamaskir bayis l'chaveru b'shtar le'eser shanim. A person rented a house to someone else with a document, and the document says that the rental period should be 10 years. However, ve'ein be'zman. There is no time, there is no date on this document. Therefore, we do not know when these 10 years began. And this is the disagreement. The renter says only 1 year has passed by from the 10 years indicated on this document. V'amaskir emer, the owner, however, says, kvar avru v'shol mushnei aschiros, v'shachanta eser shanim, that the years of the rental have already passed, and you have already lived in it 10 years, therefore you must leave. And the renter claims he has 9 years left. In this case, regardless, the renter must bring a proof. And should he be unable to bring a proof, then the owner takes a rabbinic oath that the 10 years have passed, and then he can evict the tenant from the premises. And the reason we believe the maskir in this case, and we do not give the choice to the Seicher to take an oath that we only had 1 year and allow him to stay, is because, as we mentioned in Halacha Beis, is that everything else being equal, karka becheskes baila imedes, that land stands within the possession of its owner, of its rightful owner. Therefore, should no proof be brought, or there be no other presumptions indicating otherwise, as we had in Halacha Gimel, the land or the house is assumed to be in the possession of the owner, and therefore he has the upper hand. He can therefore regain the possession of this land immediately, of this house immediately, by taking an oath. Halacha Hay. In this case, we are talking about a field, an orchard, which is producing fruit. Let's say Reuben is the owner of this orchard, and Shimon is now on the orchard consuming its fruit. He could be doing so for one of two reasons. It could be he paid Reuben money, and is therefore renting out this field and eating the fruit in return for the payment he gave Reuben. On the other hand, it could be a mashkan, like an object which has been entrusted to him. This would be because Shimon lent Reuben money, and Reuben, instead of paying him back, allows him. Reuben has no money to pay him back, but he does have a field. He therefore allows Shimon to stay on the field and consume the produce of this field. An accounting will be kept about how much will be consumed by Shimon, and this will be subtracted from the amount that Reuben owes him. Shimon is therefore the lender. Although he's here the renter, he's also the lender. And Reuben is the borrower, the loiver. And this is why Shimon is on the field. Now, halacha hei. Haseicher pardes. A person, Reuben here, that rented his orchard to Shimon. Or another case, eisha hayim mashkin biyode. Or it was a mashkin, an entrusted object in his hand, in Shimon's hand, that since Shimon lent Reuben money, he therefore is holding on to this orchard and eating the fruit as payment. Le'eser shanim, and the time period stipulated was for 10 years. V'yovash apardes pesech hazman, and the orchard dried up within this 10-year period. And therefore, the renter has paid his rent to eat the fruit, and there's no more fruit, the trees are dry. Or the lender, Shimon, wants to be repaid for his loan from the fruit, and he cannot because it is not producing fruit. In this case, although all that they normally own here is the fruit, and not the trees themselves, yimachru eitzav, they are allowed to sell the dead wood, the yilakach behen karka, and they can purchase land with the money they get from the sale, v'yechal peiresav ad save zman schirusei oizman hamashkan, and eat the fruit, the produce produced by this land, until the end of the time period stipulated in the rental or the loan agreement, meaning for the duration up until the 10 years. However, the trees themselves, which have dried up or have been cut, both parties are forbidden to take the wood, Mishum ribis hamalva valeva, because of the prohibition of interest upon the lender, Shimon, and the borrower, the leva, Reuven. The prohibition of interest here comes in the following way. Let's say the field is dried up in the middle. Shimon sells, does not sell the wood, he takes it for himself. And this will be as payment for his loan. He will sell the wood and use it as payment. Any of the fruit that he has eaten up to that point will end up being not counted for in the amount of the wood of the trees. Therefore, if he lent $100, say, and he sells the wood for $100 and takes it, all of the fruit he ate up until this point will be considered interest, it will be considered ribis. Because as in exchange for the $100 which he lent to Reuben, he is getting back $100 worth of wood. And in addition, all of the fruit which he consumed up to this point. This involves a prohibition of ribis on the malva that Shimon is taking ribis. As far as the leiva, as the prohibition of interest on Reuven, the commentaries speak about it, how there could be such a prohibition on the Reuven with interest. Perhaps what the Rambam means here is that since there is a prohibition on interest, both on the lender to take and on the borrower to give, both of them would be transgressing the prohibition of ribis. Halacha vav, another type of disagreement. Shtar aschira is a shtar amashkan, a document of rental or a document of an entrusted object. As we mentioned in the previous case, that a person, instead of being a renter, is holding onto the object and using it as payment for a loan. Shekosuv bei shonim stam, the amount of time that the renter or the lender is allowed to use this object is stated as being years, without indicating how many years. And this is the subject of disagreement. Bala peres emer sholesh, the one who is now in possession of the fruit, the renter or the lender, says that 3 years was meant. Ubala karka emer shnayim, and the owner of the land says, no, only 2 years were meant. And we have to decide now who gets the fruit from the third year. And before a decision could be reached, the renter or the lender hurries up and he grabs the fruit and consumes the fruit. Do we make him pay back the owner of the field for the fruit that he ate? Normally we have the principle, as in halacha base, that karka becheskes by law imedes, that land stands in the possession of its owner. So we would think that we would grab away the money from the one that consumed the fruit to give it back to the owner of the field. The Rambam says no. Hare haperes becheskes echleim, the fruit remains the possession of the one that consumed them. In other words, we do not take payment for them. Until the owner of the land can bring a clear proof that this fruit of the third year belongs to him. Why is it that we do not say, as we did previously, that the land is in the possession of the owner, and therefore we would require the one that ate the fruit to return the value to the owner? The commentaries explain that this is different. In those cases we mentioned previously, it is impossible ever to clarify and prove who it was the fruit belonged to. Such as in halacha base, where both things were said, that it was rented for 12 for a year or one for every month. In this case, we have no way of determining which one was meant exclusively, since both of them were said. And therefore, we have to say, Becheskes Bailoi Medes, it belongs to the owner. Now, over here, however, a document is involved. And there must have been witnesses for this document. Therefore, even should we allow the one that was renting the field, or the one that lent the money and is now using the fruit of the field, we allow him to get away with preceding the Beis Din's decision and eating the fruit, nevertheless, later on, should we be able to bring a proof, we will be able to take the fruit away from him. We will be able to get it back. We only say that we must rely on the chazakah when we have no other way of clarifying the situation. Since over here, later on, we can bring witnesses and thereby clarify the situation, we do not worry about leaving it within his possession, since later on, we could always bring a proof and take it back. Therefore, many of the commentaries say, should it be clearly impossible to later on clarify the situation, such as in the case where the witnesses have died, we would take away the value of the fruit from the renter or the lender who has eaten them and give it to the owner of the field, since we would in that case be back to the regular law of karka becheskes by leo imedes. If the dispute between the two should not be a dispute between 2 or 3 years, however, but both of them agree that the rental period was for at least 3 years, then the entire situation changes, as the Rambam continues in this halacha. The reason why more than 3 years is so different is because in a case where a person has admittedly been using a field for 3 years, and the owner does not make a declaration that he is only renting the field and that he still is the owner of the field, a person who can bring witnesses that he was using the field for 3 years would have a legal right to it. The presumption would be that if this person still owns the field and only rented it instead of selling it. He would not allow 3 years to go by without making at least a declaration in front of witnesses that he is still the owner of the field. Should he not make his presence felt there, within 3 years, the assumption would be that this was a case of sale and not a case of rental. Therefore, should there be no other proof, and everybody agrees that he has had it for 3 years, he would have a migoy, as the Rambam will soon explain. A migoy is a principle that we have had on many other occasions, that if we suspect someone is lying, and he has a better lie that he could have certainly been believed in, we believe him in his lesser lie. Because he can always claim, if you think I'm lying now, I could have told even a better lie and certainly gotten away with it. Therefore, we believe him on what he's claiming now. If the renter, or the one who has lent money and is now holding on to the field, has already been eating the fruit for 3 consecutive years, the document is not present, it is unavailable, no one has it. But Omar, he claims, that I have another 2 years, that I rented this for 5 years, and I have used 3, I have another 2 left. The owner of the field says, no, you only rented it for 3 years, and your time period has expired. He tells the renter of the field, bring your document. If you say you have it for 5 years, produce your document. But Omar Ovad, he answers the owner of the field, I lost the document. I don't have it anymore. In this case, we have no other proof to rely on except their word. In this case, Haseicher Neman, we believe the renter. She'ilu Rotza, because if he wanted to tell a really good lie, he could have said, Omar, Lekuchahi Biyadi, I bought it. I'm not even a renter at all. I bought it from you. Shahari Achla Shalashonim, as you see, I've been eating the fruit for 3 years. And this would be a valid claim, and he would be believed in Jewish court. Should he be able to produce witnesses that he has been eating for the fruit for 3 years, and the owner of the field has not made a declaration that he is still the owner, he would be believed legally that not only the fruit belongs to him, but the whole field now belongs to him because he bought it. Should neither one be able to produce a document? Therefore, we say, we believe him in his claim that he rented for 5 years. Should they both agree that he's already been there for 3? Because if you think he's lying, he could have told even a better lie and taken the whole field for himself. Therefore, we believe him in his claim of 5 years, because he has a migoy, he could have had even a better claim that he bought the field. Halacha Zayin. Mi shehichnis peiresav lebeis chaveiroi shalei midaitei. One person who brought his fruit or his produce into the house of another without notifying him. Reuven put his produce in Shimon's house and didn't even tell him he was doing so. Oy shehitehu at shehichnis peiresav. Or he deceived the other person until he was able to bring in his produce. Then he left them there. He achieved his purpose through his deceitful practice. He leaves the produce there and he leaves. He goes away. What is the owner of the house to do if he needs the room in his house? Either it was deposited there without his knowledge, or he was fooled into allowing it there. Yesh labala bayis limkor le'esam apeires. The owner of the house is allowed to sell enough of this produce, could they litein schar hapoilim shemeitzim esam, in order to pay for workers to remove the produce from his premises, umashlichin esam lashuk, and to throw it out into the marketplace. Let's say, for example, $100 of produce was put into his house, and it would cost him $10 to get people to take it away. He would take $10 worth of produce, sell it, give the $10 to the workers, and then he can throw it out on the street, since it was put there without his knowledge, or he was tricked. The Talmud tells a story about a man who wanted to leave his wine in the house of a certain woman, and she refused. So what did he do? He said he wanted to marry her, and he married her. Once they were married, they were in the same house. He put all of his wine in her house. Then he walked away from her house, went to his own, and wrote her a bill of divorce, and then gave it to her and divorced her. He therefore deceitfully tricked her into being able to deposit the wine on her premises. What did the woman do? The Talmud says that she sold some of the wine, hired some workers, took his wine, and threw it out in the middle of the marketplace. And the Talmud says there that Rabbi Huna, the son of Rabbi Yeshua, says just as he did something improper, she's allowed to do something improper. And therefore she was perfectly within her right to do what she did. However, umidas chsidisi, it is gone beyond the limit of the law. She yedia lebezdin, the yaskiru mimiktus tmeya mokum, mishum hoshev aveda lebailim. That the Jewish court should be notified so that they can take some of the produce and use the money to rent a place to take care of this produce. Mishum hoshev aveda lebailim, as part of the mitzvah of returning the lost object to the owners. Afal pi shelayasu kahagen, even though the owner did not act properly by not asking permission to deposit the produce, or by fooling the owner of the house to deposit the produce, nevertheless, although there's no strict halachic obligation to go beyond the limit of the law, the owner of the house should notify the Jewish court that the produce has been put out in the street in order that they should be able to save it by renting a place to keep it. Now the final halacha of the perek, halacha ches. Ha-sefer ha-chayim ha-chaveirei she-yitchen lo esrim saw b'chol chedesh b'schorei. The owner of a mill, let's call him Reuven, rents his mill to someone else, to Shimon, and the rental fee which Shimon will pay Reuven is that he will take 20 saw, a measurement, every month and grind it for Reuven. And since normally Reuben would have to pay to have his wheat or grain ground or milled, now he, for the money he would have to pay, Shimon is grinding 20 saw, and this will be Shimon's rental fee to Reuben. However, now what happens? Conditions have changed a little bit. In the middle of the rental period, v'heshir bal rechayim, the owner of this mill, Reuben, becomes rich. He no longer has any need to have grain ground for him over there. He is rich now, and he has his own mill, and he has his own animal to run the mill. Therefore, he has no need whatsoever for Shimon to give him this sort of payment. He would rather have money from Shimon. Instead of Shimon grinding grain for him, he can do that himself. The question is, can Reuven demand money from Shimon? Or can Shimon say, I'm not going to give you money, I would rather grind for you? So the Rambam makes this dependent on whether Shimon would have something else to do. Does Shimon anyway have other wheat he could be grinding? Let's say Shimon could only grind 40 saw a month, and he has 60 or 80 saw that are lined up waiting for him to grind. And anyway, he couldn't get to any of them. In this case, we will say that Shimon may as well give money to Reuven, because what's the difference for him? He anyway is going to be milling the whole time. However, if he should not have, he can tell Reuven, no, I am going to pay you by milling, by grinding, since I otherwise wouldn't have work to do. And this is what the Rambam says now. Im yesh l'secher chitim, shetzorech litchen la'atzmei, oy la'cherim, if the renter Shimon has wheat, which must be ground either for himself, or for other people, kefin eise liten dmei tchinas esrim saw. We force Shimon to pay the rent to Reuven. Now, instead of grinding, he must pay him the amount of money that a person would normally pay to have 20 saw ground. Why shezum midas daimhi? Because this, that he would want to grind instead of giving the money, is the following the ways of the people of the Sodomites, the people of Sodom. The Talmud explains that midas daim is that even when one person would gain benefit and the other would lose nothing, still, since the other person is having a favor done for them, the people of Sodom would refuse to do so. And so too over here, this Shimon could be grinding the whole time anyway. Should he grind 20 saw for Reuven, the owner of the mill, he would not get any money for it. This would be his payment for the renting the mill. If he has other grain he anyway could be grinding, what difference is it to Shimon if he grinds Reuven's wheat or somebody else's wheat? He could grind somebody else's wheat, 20 saw worth, the person will pay him the money, and he will be happy. And then Shimon can give that money to Reuven. And what does Shimon care if he's grinding Reuven's wheat or somebody else's wheat? He could either grind Reuven's wheat and not get paid anything, he could grind somebody else's wheat and get paid, and give that money to Reuven. Reuven, it does matter to, because he already has enough ground wheat, he would rather have the money. So So in such a case, should Shimon refuse to give him the money, we force him to give him the money because this is Midas Dain. On the other hand, Ve'im Ein Loi, if Shimon otherwise would be idle, because he does not have other wheat which needs grinding, Yochol Leimer, Shimon can tell Reuven, Ein Li Damim, I don't have money, I have a mill which I have rented, and I need to use it, but I have no money to pay you. I am willing to grind for you, just as we arranged in the rental agreement. If you don't need my wheat, then sell to somebody else. In other words, what you want me to do, you yourself could do. I will grind 20 saw of wheat for you. You say you have your own mill, and you could grind your own wheat over there in your own mill, and it wouldn't cost you anything. So I have a simple piece of advice for you. Go find someone else that needs wheat to be ground, and then you will grind their wheat, and you will take money for grinding their wheat. Instead of taking the money from me, take the money from them. If I had other people that needed wheat to be ground, it would be fine for me. I wouldn't mind giving you the money as long as I have work to do. But since I don't, and originally we agreed that I would pay you in such a fashion, then you cannot hold me responsible to give you money. If you want to have the payment instead of the grinding of wheat, you will have to find someone else that needs wheat ground. You can grind it for them and take the money. The Cain, Kol Kayetzibazah, so too any similar case.